Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
The drug wizard was taken to the local CW station and left on the doorstep, tied up and naked, save for his pointed hat. A familiar note stuffed into his mouth. Love F. Bats. Joseph Stroma was rushed to Providence Hospital, where he was stabilized and was thereafter transferred to the Sunrise Foundation, a facility specializing in withdrawal and drug addiction in the South Ward. Less than a week goes by. The streets are thick with rush hour traffic in Waterdeep this afternoon. Citizens hastily make their way from their 9-to-5s back to whatever it is they consider home. A halfling man wearing a flat cap and holding a rolled-up newspaper pushes a large wooden crate out of an alleyway and climbs on top of it. He unrolls the newspaper and waves it jauntily as he regales passerby with the latest headline from the deep news. The mob war in Waterdeep continues. Rival crime families led by Rupert Thorne and Arnold Stromwell battle for control of the city's underworld. According to City Watch Commissioner Gordon, mob violence is intensifying. What we have here is a battle between an older crime boss and his younger rival for control of the rackets in Waterdeep. And in this case, it looks like youth has the edge. I say Stromwell's about to be retired. But the struggle may now be taking a tragic twist with the reported disappearance of Arnold Stromwell's only son, Joseph.
We need to solve this issue with Stromwell and Thorne.
Right. How?
And Anders says, I agree. And I think with everything that's happening, maybe we can appeal to Stromwell himself and see if maybe he's threatened by Thorne. Maybe there's something he can do to help us.
Like
even getting one of these guys off the street is
an enemy of my enemy sort of situation.
I think you're on the right track with that. Mm. And there's a few aces in our pocket right now. We have Joey, his son.
Yes.
We're getting into contact with his mother. Recently, estranged from her husband. They split up a while back. Apparently, she was unhappy with the turn their life had taken. There's also Arnold's brother, Michael, who's somebody I've been talking to frequently lately. He's a cleric of Bahamut. And I think maybe with a little convincing, he might be able to help us too. That's somebody that I'm going to go see, first thing tomorrow.
So I think for the next little bit, what we want to do here is you've been issued a contract on Stromwell. You don't necessarily want to capture him, but maybe we want to get ourselves into a situation where we can talk to Stromwell and hopefully convince him with the tools in our shed to maybe close down his drug organization, which is like really becoming like a huge issue in the city. But with the capture of the drug wizard and the Chem Boys, it's like maybe going to put a little bit of a stint, like a halt to some of it. We want to get him to talk to the district attorney, the stand-in mask district attorney, whoever we can get him to talk to, an authority. And we want him to help provide supporting documentation that can be used legally in court to take down Rupert Thorne. Two birds with one stone. That's the contract. So I want to set up another flashback. So I think that week went by. I think during that week is where I want to do the flashback with Lucian real quick.
Oh.
You guys are rested up, so take full rest, get back to zero, recover your rage and your key points. Now I think there's some concern with how little you've been getting out of the manor lately. You've been doing a lot of reading.
Yes.
But you
kind of sulking a little bit.
Yeah, and it's probably not gone unnoticed. And Anders, he's been stretched thin trying to keep things together on his side. But he's like, hey, Lucian, Stan's going out for like a pulse check on the city. Hey, he's going to go provide some aid to some places that we normally frequent. And I like to visit myself, but I've got a lot going on. Maybe you want to accompany him and see if you can, lend him a hand, get out of the house.
Yes, some time in the sun would probably do me good.
We had your disguise pressed. If you want to go change into that, I don't think it's wise for you to go out as Lucian still.
That's fair.
Okay, so you agree to go with Stan. Prominent NPC driver pulls up out front, and you guys get in the vehicle with him. And you're in the car with Stan, and Snoop Dogg's playing. It smells dank. Do you have any questions for Stan as you ride quietly in the car through the city?
Yeah, sure. And this is after I had gone to the Jade Inn at this point, right?
Yeah, we're way past that.
Okay. Stan, I was wondering, do you happen to know of any deities of misfortune in the Pantheon? I'm not exactly...
That's quite a strange question. One that I would normally take to someone that deals in the seedier things than I. Why do you ask? Does it have to do with...
It's about the merchants. Apparently they were worshipping or something, chanting to the gods of misfortune, chaos, disorder.
Oh my.
Disorder.
That's a little bit beyond my scope of knowledge, actually. I don't really have that much foresight into the Pantheon, if you will. Mm. My interests are more of the material. Indeed. Than the arcana. I do like to research, and magic is magic.
It is true. I might, one of these days, I might join you in a research run to see if I could maybe find out some more about this. Have you ever heard of, I believe it is a town called Oakhurst? They have a sigil of a circle with a tree in it.
Yes, I actually know it well, and that's because Anders knows it well.
Oh, really?
He actually has some connections out in that part of the world. We have our fingers in a lot of pies, if you will. Oakhurst is familiar. Lunch. They are known for their high level merchanteering. If that's a term, is that a thing? they're known for merchant travel.
It appears that is where this particular caravan was is from. I was just curious if you. Knew of it, I might have to press Anders for some.
The merchants of Oakhurst typically have a positive reputation. I've never heard of any worshipping gods of misfortune or chaos or of anything of that nature. Mm. But that's a good lead, I believe. Something we could take to Anders. He's very knowledgeable about that part of the world.
Indeed, I will talk to him the next we meet.
You know, I was born and raised in Waterdeep. I haven't really been outside of the city. The world's a big place, especially for a little gnome like me.
That is true. I've only been, I walked for a century or two and found myself at Waterdeep, but no place was quite like this.
Now, you're old. You are very old.
I am, yes. Indeed.
He laughs a little bit.
Where are we headed, Stan?
We've got a few stops to make today. We're going to be taking, there's a bunch of boxes like packed up into the back, that prominent NPC driver helped load up. There's, clothes and blankets. We're going to be attending a homeless shelter, and then, we're actually you're going to see something, pretty brilliant today. If you've ever been by, the Gnomish complex in the city.
Have I?
It's pretty well. Make a history check to see like if you like how much you know about it.
Seven.
You haven't been there. You haven't really heard. You've heard of it.
Yeah.
This is the first time you've heard Stan mentioning it, and it's I'm actually going to stop in with one of my connections to see if they have any new information about some of the threads we're following here.
Oh, really?
And then our last stop is the Sunrise Foundation to check in on your boy Joey.
Ah. That sounds good. I have not actually been into the gnome complex, so that sounds
interesting. You can't go.
Oh, to see it.
You can see it from the outside, definitely. Sure.
Only gnomes allowed?
Yeah, gnomes only. And you'll see.
Okay.
But you guys make it to the homeless shelter and you drop off the aid. And there's a human woman there that's like attending a soup pot that like stops what she's doing and comes over and takes the blankets and she's very thankful. And then you guys, you travel for about 30 minutes and you make a turn down a very like tight alleyway for this cart. Mm-hmm. And then you open up onto a place that it's kind of set into a lot of they're like surrounded by buildings, and there's this one alleyway in, and the cart pulls up to like this kind of like staging area. It looks like for like cart, and there's a little curb, and then so basically you see, you look up first as you step out of the cart with Stan, and you see a canopy of a great tree that is overhead that is kind of like almost touching all of the rooftops of the surrounding buildings. Mm-hmm. And you see sunlight like cascading through, and like the green and gold that kind of comes through with the tree. This tree's like 45, 50 feet tall. It's pretty big. And, in the tree are little cubby holes with little buildings built on the outside of it in the cylindrical along the, like the trunk of the tree. And they're all gnomish homes.
Oh, that's super.
And
dope.
You see like lots of little, you actually see bridges and stuff like moving from like little posts that are built, like that go from like one level down to another level. You see like clotheslines and like people walk, like little gnomes, like out on their patios, like washing their clothes. And you hear like the clattering of like dishes and like steam, and you smell delicious food being cooked. Mm-hmm. And, you can see somebody like making textiles, like all, like a lot of these, homes are like open faced and like big windows and stuff in them.
Yeah.
And you see like a little, like you look down into like this pit where this tree is growing like another 20 feet down.
Oh shit.
And underneath the street level. And there are big roots, and it looks like there are tunnels, and that this community goes down much farther than you can see. Ooh. And you just hear like a lot of bustling. You hear a lot of noise, and it is gnomes only. And it doesn't look like you fit on any of these structures. And Stan looks at you and he says, I'll be back in, give me an hour.
Yes, this is, yeah. And I want to take up like a sketchbook out and immediately start like drawing what I'm seeing, basically.
And
like in awe, basically.
And you hear from the tree, you hear, "Hey, Stan, is that you?" And there's a little gnome like looking out, and he's like waving. He's like, "Stan, maybe have your friend wait inside the cart." He's like, "Yeah, that would actually be I appreciate what you're trying to do drawing here. But maybe you do it from inside. You can open up the window. It's fine if you draw it. Just it really is like a gnomish thing."
Yeah, sure. Of course.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you understand.
Yeah.
And he runs across a little bridge, and he's like, "Hey, Devin." And he runs across a little bridge and like into the tree trunk, and like he disappears.
Oh wow.
And you see his friend Davin like disappear also.
Yeah.
From like, he was like maybe like six floors up, mm-hmm. you know, looking down onto you guys. And you hear this continued like bustling, and Stan comes out and make a performance check.
Oh shit. Ooh. An 18.
You get a really good drawing. Basically you're like 2 points away from nailing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you really got a good,
yeah.
Stan comes back and he sees your drawing, he's like, "Oh, that's very impressive."
It is a beautiful structure. I don't know if I've ever seen its like anywhere before.
Yeah, it's unique. Definitely, especially to Waterdeep. Anders and I have designed this place. Without him, this community wouldn't be possible. This is just like this is just Gnome Town. This is deep town, Gnome Town.
Deep town, Gnome Town.
So the next stop you make is the Sunrise Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are just in there to check on Joey's condition. He's doing okay. He's in a lot of pain. And he's, you know, he's still having convulsions from his withdrawal, and he's still muttering about the drug wizard. And I think that'll be where we call it on the flashback.
Yeah.
So.
Flashback with the flashbang.
So one more flashback, but in the future. So maybe this week passes and you guys hear this this town crier. Brandon, you need to take care of some personal business today. And Lucian and Stan, or I'm sorry, Stan and Anders have asked you to take Lucian with you if you can, because he's really,
because he's a super bummer.
He's bumming Anders out. It's like, dude, just get this guy out of here. He's not used to this sort of thing. like you have your Zen garden and you're reading and stuff, but you're probably getting like real homesick.
Yeah. And it's super absentmindedly, like it's not zenning me out. It's not, he's like not doing
fucking,
anything.
He's
it's
like fucking with like armored statues in the halls and like their arms are like falling off and shit. And he's like,
oh God.
And Andrew's like, can you get this guy out of the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're taking care of personal business today. What does that mean to Brandon? What are you doing?
Personal business?
Yeah. Like errands, or you have some tasks to complete in the city. What is it?
Oh, okay. I am going around town to see what the other wood vendors are selling, just so I can get a gauge.
Oh, cool.
On the competition.
Yeah, you go. You,
that's cool.
So, I think you go on foot, probably to the market like you normally would. It's like not too far from your apartment.
Yep.
But you probably got like a page to come to Anders Manor so they could ask you personally to please like take this guy.
Pick this fool up.
And you're like, well, I happen to be going out today. So maybe you get like dropped off by a prominent NPC driver.
Yeah.
So you're out off at the marketplace. Go ahead and make an investigation check.
Investigation check.
Lucian, you're welcome to assist if you would like.
Sure.
That is a 13.
3.
Yeah. You're
just looking out the window.
You're in that bad head space right now.
Where are we headed, Brandon?
We're headed to my competitors to, you know, scope out their prices.
Scope out some wood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And you rolled a 13?
Yes.
So you do pretty good. You you see people selling like mahogany chairs and stuff out in the marketplace. You actually find like a new wood vendor who's like trying to just like establish dominance with people, it seems. And he's making like some lower quality materials and like boasting about them as if they were the real deal.
Right.
And is there anything in particular like you that you're looking for that you're trying to?
I'm just taking a look at the actual wood quality and then price ranges. And so basically, I'm also looking into like their advertising strategy as well.
There's a lot of craftsmen out in the market that they're making high end material, but they're upcharging a lot for it. And like the lower end guys, they're making like lower end stuff and they're charging like probably a little bit under what they should for the materials.
Right.
Just to make sale, it seems.
Right.
Like the more amateurish attempts. The more seasoned, like older fellows that are making like nice, basically they're like selling furniture. They're selling, you know, interior, exterior, like table settings and chairs and things like that. There's probably a couple people in wood shops that you go like check out also that are nearby the marketplace. And you're kind of seeing what you've been, if this is something regular you're doing, you're seeing a lot of people being stagnant compared to what you're doing. Like you're like, oh, this, they're charging like double for the mahogany, like what they should be.
Right.
And that's pretty normal. Like some people are buying, but they're pretty slow. I mean, comparatively speaking for what you're doing, you're better off making stuff yourself than like trying to contract out based off of that.
Right.
You're getting like, you get a beat, like I'm pretty fucking good at this. And every time you go out to do this, you're like, I'm pretty fucking good at this. And like, I can tell when I go and check these chumps out.
Yeah.
Because that's what it feels like. They feel like chumps, like when right. you compare it to your own
work. Amateurs.
Yeah. Like, I bet you didn't even cut this down yourself. it's about lunchtime. You guys like to have plans to, do you usually like eat out in the city or are you like cooking at home kind of guy?
Yeah, I usually eat out in the city. I usually like to grab drinks though.
Okay.
Drinks sustain the surge.
What was... The Slaughtered Queen.
The Slaughtered Queen.
Is that your normal? That's your standby, your go-to?
Yeah, that's the go-to on the way home.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're on your way home with Lucian. Let's role play that out a little bit.
Okay. Sure. What's eating you up, bud?
Are we in public? Or are we in
you guys are walking through the streets.
Okay. Just this whole business with JoJo and
Ravon. I'm so sorry to hear that. It's really hard.
It is hard because I'm Daniel McDews right now. just in case you are. Because you're wondering about this voice.
Codename Daniel McDews. It's just Jake talking normal.
It's just me. Yeah. It's just my regular speaking voice. You know, it's just hard to deal with. They were my first students, and
there'll always be more students.
Super crash. Super crass. Cool. I mean, yes.
I mean, life goes on. How old are you now?
I'm 400 and...
419?
He's 419.
60 years old. No, how old? Am I like a human? Is that what my disguise is?
Yeah. You're... I guess.
No, we're in public, but I don't think anyone's in earshot. No. We're right next to each other.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 400.
We're having a bro talk.
You could be an elf still. Like,
yeah. It's, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. 419.
Yeah. You've seen the cycles of life, my dude.
I have indeed, but have never been directly responsible for the passing of somebody's light.
Just an FYI, your birthday probably is coming up.
Because
it's almost been a year, so we haven't done it yet.
I was gonna ask you about that. Yeah. You know, actually, my birthday is coming up.
Oh, is it?
Yes, next month.
Well,
is it next month? Because you said it was 11 months, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Well, what do you want to do for your birthday? Do you celebrate birthdays?
I mean, I've had 419 of them prior to this.
I know. Did you do anything on the days that
the
annual
temple
anniversary of your
Brandon,
birth?
Make a history check real quick. A lot of history in this one.
Not good. 5.
Oh, don't worry about it.
What do elves do?
They party super hard.
Lucian, 420 is like a big, big celebration.
For an elf?
Yeah, that's like a dirty 30.
It's my dirty 30.
Yeah. It's like dirty 30. It's huge. It's like it's not over the hill. You know, it's 420.
Yeah.
420.
You know, this next birthday is a very big one. I did not have anything planned, especially with, you know, everything that's been going on. It hasn't seemed important.
Hasn't seemed... What? It's your birthday. Come on. You're going to be on this... It's a planet, right? We're on a planet.
call it the material plane.
You've been on this material plane for 419 years.
Yes.
I've
seen a lot.
A definite cause for celebration. You've seen a lot of good.
I have.
So, I mean.
Do you have any ideas that do not involve.
Cake?
No, cake is fine.
Okay. What kind of cake do you like? Ooh, come on, birthday boy.
Yeah, does Lucian like sweets?
Yes.
Okay. Noted.
A lemon cake would be perfect.
Oh, lemon boy. Okay.
Lemon boy. Make perception checks right now.
Oh God.
20.
Nice.
Oh, 17.
Nice.
The talk of lemon cake is dilated by pupils.
You guys see, you got a sugar rush right now. I'm not even eating it. Like, oh, I haven't had lemon cake in some time.
It's just been years.
Your pupils widen, and you see walking up across the street from you, coming at you, but across the street, Rupert Thorne.
Oh.
Surrounded by a detail of men.
Let's go beat this guy up.
It looks like they were having like a heated conversation, and Thorne looks around, and not particularly at either of you, just like around, and it's pretty
like
busy
street
out here.
Clothes, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty busy out here. He just kind of like looks at the situation. He like puts his hand up and like kind of brings it down a little bit.
Like chill,
and then
guys.
And it's like points over at a corner deli. That's like you guys are right across the street from it, and the group walks over to it and they head inside.
Into the corner deli.
They go inside the deli. Yeah.
Lucian, are you seeing this?
Yes, that looked like Rupert Thorne and his posse.
How convenient.
Indeed, should we drop a spider in that bakery and
And listen
observe?
In?
Observe, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that.
We have to plant the spider, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I think you have better sneaking. right?
I mean, more or less, but we're in plain clothes.
I know, but I mean, we still gotta drop a spider.
It's true. Yeah, that's fair. If I do it, do both of us get to hear on it, or does it only get to mine?
It's tuned to the frequency of the pager pebble.
Okay. Yeah.
So the pager pebble, the way it works is like you guys are all tuned to like this royal purple.
One, right? Yeah.
And yeah, anybody that talks into it will hear like that time you guys like gave it to Gordon.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Should I? You want me to try?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you want me to.
No, I'm fine. I will nonchalantly.
You have better sleight of hand, right?
I have a +3. Yeah.
Okay.
I will nonchalantly, I guess, walk across the street to the deli.
Okay, just by yourself?
Are you going to come with me?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd recognize. Well, actually, no, I'm in disguise. I'm in normal clothes.
Yeah they had no idea what you really look like.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. No, yeah, actually, let's just fucking walk by normally.
We're just bros getting sandwiches.
We can go inside the store, right? Like, they're not blocking
Brandon,
it off.
You actually know this deli, and they do make really delicious sandwiches.
Okay.
Cool. And like salads and stuff like that.
Awesome. All right, we're gonna go in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and pretend to order something.
Marching order, please.
I'll go in first.
You hear the chime of a little bell, and you hear raucous talking and laughter immediately hush and quiet. You look to your left, and you see a wall lined with booths that has no one in them except for the first booth to the left is full of the people you just saw outside, including Rupert Thorne. And you actually might be able to pick out some of the people you've kicked their ass. maybe like one or two of them are familiar to you.
Yeah.
Over to the right is a glass counter with like lots of meat on the shelves and things like that. And
things on top of it,
baked goods and like things on the counter, like basically your standard like kind of deli. And then and between these there's two glass cases, and in between them is like a flat counter with what looks like a cash register on the front. And in the middle of what's taking up like the floor space in here between the counters and the booths is like little tables. There's a like stout man wearing all white and like an apron. He's washing his hands behind the counter right now. And there's somebody in here that was just at the counter, like picks up their little bag off the counter and leaves.
With the baked goods in the, like on top of the counter and everything, is it going to them? Is this like a depository of bread that he goes and uses for the sandwiches, or is it just there?
It looks like there's some like cookies that maybe he bought from like a baker that's nearby and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's like on top of the counter, but it's mostly just meats like inside of the cases.
And how filled is this basket of cookies?
It's pretty full. I mean, it's pretty like, good. It's not a huge basket or anything. There's like 10 cookies in there or something. I don't know.
No, I'm just curious.
Okay.
And then for the tables that Thorne is at and everything like that, you said he's in like a corner booth?
Yeah.
Directly to our left when we walk in?
And they're all whispering.
Okay.
Like between each other.
Could you describe like what's around it? Is it like just a nook and then tables or then the counter is like...
There's a like a small step up onto the booth area.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a like circular booths.
Is there another booth next to it?
Yeah, there's another booth next to it, and there's four booths on the left hand side until you hit the back wall.
Okay. And
maybe like six tables and then the counters. There's like probably like a restroom like towards the back and like probably a back area, like the meat locker sort of deal.
Okay. I guess let's order some. Let's get some Sammy's.
Sure.
Yeah, you walk in and you look at your bro and you're like, let's get some Sammy's.
Let's get some Sammy's. Okay. And I'll go and order me like a turkey club.
Yeah, okay.
You got a club here?
All right, one turkey club. He writes it down.
Bacon avocado, you know.
What's an avocado?
Fantasy avocado.
I definitely have fantasy avocado. Okay, yeah, good. We got all that. We got everything you need. Turkey club coming
on white bread, please.
White bread it is. What about for you, sir?
I want F-bat.
What is F-bat? What? is a sandwich called F-bat?
Yeah, it's
what's on the F-bat?
It's fantasy bacon, avocado, and tomato.
Yes! Amazing. Oh man, that's awesome. Okay.
Way better than the turkey club.
You order the turkey club, Lucian, and Brandon, you order the F-bat. I was like, one turkey club, one F-bat.
I'm real mad at myself right now. That was good.
And
thanks.
You, super good.
You hear from the corner, "Hey, you two."
Nanny.
Turn around, I guess.
You turn around, you see Rupert Thorne, and he says, "You two, you'll get out of here if you know what's good for you. Understand? Your order's on the house, Pete. Pete." And Pete turns around. He's like making your sandwiches. He's like, "Yeah, boss. Okay." And I don't know if you guys set like money out on the counter to pay.
Yeah.
If you did, he hands it back to you immediately. And he finishes making up. He's like finishing your sandwiches right now. He's like almost done with the turkey club, and he finishes it like, and starts wrapping it up.
Okay. I'll tip my hat. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the hospitality.
Yeah. Get your food and get out of here.
Oh, okay.
All right then. I'll just grab this and
The Pete behind the counter, he starts making the F-bat.
Oh, okay.
Sandwich.
Okay.
And puts down a piece of bread, and then he starts cutting up a fantasy avocado, and he starts putting that on the bread.
And there's like, these are booths, you said, right? So there's like space underneath their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just curious for.
And then he's
future references.
He takes out some bacon that he had like fried up already, and then he puts that on the sandwich. And then he cuts up some tomatoes. He puts that on the sandwich. And then he caps it off with the bread. And then he starts wrapping it. And he puts both your sandwiches in a bag. And he puts the bag on the counter. He gestures to it.
I'll grab it.
Okay, you grab it. And then he comes around the counter and he starts shuffling you out. So he like turns to walk around the...
Before he comes around, can I go like into my... Where would the spider be on me? Like my pocket?
Somewhere you can get to easily.
Yeah, like super quick. Like, and while we're walking out, can I like trip? Can I like fall and then drop the spider as I'm falling underneath the booth? That is the motion I want to do.
You do like a full like,
No.
You drop your sandwiches too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You make a scene. He's like, and Thorne's like, "Oh my God, Pete, help the guy."
Do I successfully?
Brandon, what are you doing?
I mean, he's the one with the spider. So
you guys both have a spider.
Yeah, we both. Have spiders.
I thought only one of us got a spider.
He said, "Stan's like a drug dealer of his own, and he's like first one's on the house. Yeah, first one's free. You guys both have one on you."
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if he's gonna drop one off, I don't see why I need to drop mine off here too. So
okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So
this guy falls over.
I'm just helping my bro up.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Your spider like tumbles, and
like, does it break? Is it gonna shatter like a pot?
No.
It rolls over,
leg side up, and then you see it like skitter, and flip itself over, and walk towards like the nearest nook.
Okay,
and hide itself.
Dope.
And nobody. Awesome. Nobody's the wiser.
I thought we had to plant that thing. I didn't know it walks off into its own.
Oh, did I not explain that? Yeah, you can remotely move it. I did. I don't think I explained that. You can remotely move the spider. Like
you said, 15 feet.
15
right?
feet.
Okay.
So let's flash back again. Let's flash back inside of the flashback Inception style. You take a pager pebble and it's like specifically tuned to whoever put it down, the spider down.
Oh,
and
okay.
You move your thumb across the pager pebble in the direction you want the thing to move. And it goes in that direction.
I see.
The full feet, 15 feet.
That's dope.
So it skitters under the nearest nook and secures itself. And it walks. You guys...
And I'll collect my sandwiches and be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I will go.
He just like shakes his head and like shoos you out. And the door closes and... It locks behind you and they flip the sign from open to close. Pete does.
Oh shit. Okay.
So the next thing you hear, if you guys are tuned into your pebbles, which I'm assuming you would like have one on you to like listen in.
Yeah.
So you hear Rupert Thorne say, "Stromwell wants to meet tonight. We'll put a sign up that says private party." And you hear some of the other guys say, "Yeah, a going away party." And Thorne says, "Now, when Arnie gets here, We're all gonna act nice. Make him feel like we want a truce. All everybody has to do is follow my instructions, and you get the first cue, Pete. It's got to go like clockwork. After Pete leaves, the lights go out. We have the count of five to get clear, and it'll be all over for Arnold Stromwell. And you hear some like dirty talk and stuff later. Like they're just having themselves a good old time.
Just guy talk.
Yeah, and eventually you hear them leave.
Meanwhile, an older gentleman exits a matte black cart of unique design, piloted by a humanoid with an unremarkable demeanor. He walks with a familiar limp up the steps of a stone cathedral, its light gray features accented with gold inlays that depict seven glorious dragons in flight, cascading at an upward diagonal of several floors toward the structure's precipice. Atop this monument is the figure of another dragon, sculpted from platinum, posed triumphantly over the city streets below. Footsteps echo within the mostly empty cathedral walls, and the old man is unbothered by the clergy, who acknowledge his presence with a venerable familiarity. He makes his way up a flight of stairs, down a hallway, and toward an open door.
"Excuse me, Father."
"Yes, what can I help you with?"
"You." "It's coming down tonight, Father. He's going to need you."
"Arnold? That's one soul I wish I could give up on."
"I don't believe you'd give up on anyone, Father. Please be there."
The team prepares themselves and their equipment, and they make their way out to Pete's deli.
You guys wait a little while, and you see a cart pull up to the outside of the building, and three men get out and go into the deli and close the door behind them. And through your pager pebbles, you hear the following, which I will summon. You hear the now familiar voice of Rupert Thorne say, "Hi, Arnie. I'm glad we could get together." And you hear the voice of Arnold Stromwell, you've not heard yet, say, "We'll see, Thorne. It's time to talk." And Thorne says, "Don't you wish we could talk alone, man to man? Let the boys get some air." And after you hear that, you see like seven guys leave the deli out front.
Pete, one of them?
No.
Okay.
The two guys that went in initially that you guys saw get into the cart and like kind of pull it across the street. Mm. And all the other guys kind of like walk around the corner and head to like the back of the building and out of sight. And you hear Thorne say, "We made the news today." And Stromwell says, "I saw. It's making things difficult. You're making things difficult." And Thorne says, "Come on, Arnie, this town's big enough for the two of us." And then you hear scuffling and you hear like impact sounds, kind of like that a little bit. And you hear, "Where's my son?"
"Oh, sure."
Thorne says, "What? My son, where is he? What have you done to him?" And Thorne says, I don't know anything about it. And then you hear, "You're a lowlife. You'd do anything to take over my city." It says, I didn't touch your kid. I swear it, Arnie. You know I don't mess with family." And then you hear like the sound of cloth. And he says, hey, come on. We're getting off on the wrong foot here. It's a shame about your kid. Maybe I can help." And Stromwell says, "How?" "Well, I've got connections you don't." And you hear a little bit of a pause. And you hear the sound of like a chair being pulled out across a wood floor. And then you hear something like plop down. He says, "Good. Now we can't talk on an empty stomach. Pete, I want to see an Anapostle out here that'll knock our socks off." And then a little bit of time goes by, like maybe like 10 seconds. And then you hear a door closing. And then you hear like a clicking sound. And so you hear, hey, where are you going? And then you hear another like the creaking of a door and the door closing and another clicking sound. And then you hear the sound of a chair like screech back, like kind of like how it was you heard it like slowly being pulled out earlier. Mm-hmm. Now it sounds like it was like kicked back and falls over with like a clatter. And then you hear footsteps like running across a wooden floor, and you say, hey, and you hear like knocking on the door. And then so this is all happening in real time.
Yeah.
Anything?
Are there like glass? Is it like a glass front to mm-hmm. the
Yeah, and it has like that classic like deli painted on the front. Yeah.
And does the door have closed on it still?
Is that Yeah. Private party.
Yeah. It seems like that was our cue. Could we could I grapple hook the front of the building and try to break through the glass?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Well, going in loud.
Brandon,
this shit is about to pop off. He's about to... The cues are happening, is what it seems like to me.
Brandon, are you doing anything? You see Lucian like preparing his grapple glove.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It seems like this is these are the cues.
Right. We're on top of a building, correct?
Across the street.
So we can like kind of see into it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Will you join me in crushing this window?
How are you getting in? Are you shooting the top of the building?
Yeah, then I was going to swing.
And then just like fulcrum swing?
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
All right.
I like it. Sure.
Okay. So you grapple?
Yeah.
What is that face?
I'm just, I don't know. Okay. You're making it sound like shit's about to blow up and we're going to get fucked, but please continue.
All right, so you grapple to the side of the building and you're going to like what, swing through like the storefront?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then it's going to be like Holmes.
That's exactly what happens.
Oh no.
You guys are swinging towards the face of this building in tandem and you hear an explosion and the glass blows out as you're swinging towards it and you are knocked backwards for
tight.
This much.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Why
am I making all these decisions?
I mean, I agreed with it.
You take 18 damage.
I was going to say the same.
It's a combination of bludgeoning and piercing damage as you're knocked backwards onto your back.
Okay. I am on my back.
It's safe to assume you're now this place like blew up from the inside, but it's not completely destroyed. And you're able to like you're basically like you were rejected. You like swing towards it and the shit blew up. And you hear the guys across the street like panic a little bit. They're like, boss. And they're like, oh, what the fuck? And they see you guys. What do you do?
Oh, I'm going to get up.
Yeah. Make perception real quick.
Okay.
I was going to say, can we go to the back?
Nat 20.
20.
Yeah.
Not gnats.
You look around, you see like the guys across the street are discombobulated a little bit, and you see inside and it's like smoldering in there and a lot of this shit is like destroyed. But you see Arnold Stromwell kind of like cascaded over a table that's like been, or under a table, sorry. There's like a table over him. You both see that.
Does the table look heavy?
No, it's one of those tables that you were in the middle of the room. It's just like a sitting table. Oh, okay. It's maybe like 15 pounds tops.
Okay.
Let's go see if he's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We go into the deli and then try to lift this table off him.
Okay. Yeah. You're able to get the table off him. No problem. And, you check his condition and he seems, he's unconscious, but he's alive.
Oh, that's cool. Good. Those are good things.
Awesome.
But this place is starting to like catch fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, what do you guys do now?
Do I see? I mean, do I perceive anything else to like maybe put out the fire?
The whole inside of this place is like on fire, and it's lit. It's super lit in here, dude. There's people like fucking getting down. Drug wizards is in here. He's like, whoop, whoop. He's fucking twerking.
He's got both of his hands.
He's got both
small versions of him just twerking.
There's four drug wizards, and they've each got two little illusions, and everybody's fucking getting it. Yeah, one of them's doing casting the dancing lights cantrip or whatever.
Oh, jeez. Is there a...
They combine the four balls of light to make like a form of drug wizard that also starts
hologram.
Dancing. Yeah. Super fucking lit in here.
Is there like a fantasy fire extinguisher around?
Nah.
We should get this boy out of here.
Okay, yeah, let's get this boy out of here.
Okay, how do you do it?
You should carry him because I'm weak.
Okay. Yeah, we rock, paper, scissors real quick. I win, and then I still have to take him out.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So you throw Stromwell up onto your shoulders. And how do you guys exit the building?
Through the glass we intended to break through.
Yeah,
it was broken, and that's how you entered.
So
yeah,
just grapple hook.
There's more space that way. Why would I use a freaking door when like?
Yeah, totally. That makes sense.
100%.
And the guys across the street had the same idea as they're trying to come in and recover their boss.
But we have him.
But you have him. And they make to fight you for him. And Lucian, you're out in front. What do you do?
Oh, fuck. Is this going to be like an actual combat or
theater combat? Let's go.
Theater combat. I just want to take out like three of them. I'll key point.
There's only two guys.
Oh, then I will 100%.
Just take them all out.
I'll
dude.
Just take them out. Fuck it. I'll go down and I'll grab like a chair.
Uh-huh.
And just break it on some dude's, like on one of their faces.
WWE style.
Yeah. I'll just
pour an object.
I'll just pour an object, chair them, and then like have like just the legs, and I'll use them as like tonfas, and I'll take the other dude out.
The first guy. The first guy's running, and he's like gonna go jump through the glass and like kind of like, what do you call it?
Vault.
He's gonna vault over like the storefront and through the glass, and you hear the guy behind him go, "Watch out! Watch out! Watch out!" And then you come around the corner
and I'm just
swinging a fucking chair over him.
Yes.
And then you have the legs left over, and you just like beat down the second guy.
Just click, click, click.
Yeah. Like you Wing Chun him.
Yes.
Down to the ground. And he's like vibrating.
He's like.
Okay. So you make it out of the building, and Brandon, you follow with Stromwell on your back.
Correct.
Let's grapple hook away.
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 Cool. Yeah, you make it up to the rooftop, and where are you guys going?
Could we try like to have people lose visibility of us, basically? Like hop a couple rooftops, and then once we're like safe, let's go to the merchant cart storage, and then could I use like a healing potion on him? To wake him up, kind of.
Yeah, totally. You can do that.
Okay.
I think he. You don't need to heal him. I think when you guys are on the tops of the building and you get kind of like situated, like you get the space that you desire.
Yeah.
He wakes up on your back and he's like, "Oh, whoa, what's going on?"
Ooh.
Oh, he's awake.
Yeah. Mr. Stromwell, we. Fuck, how do we do this? We know where your son is. We just need a little bit, just a little moment of your time, please.
You know where Joey?
Yes.
I'm alive?
You are. We got you out of the flaming deli.
This isn't... Oh. What? Why the heroics?
It appears Thorn...
And he kind of like shakes himself like awake a little bit. He's like, it's you two.
It is what we do, yes.
Okay.
We are heroes.
You know where? Sorry, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
You might be concussed. I'm not very good with interaction today. I need you to be okay with this real quick. And then we'll get to a place and then we can talk.
Just go with it, man. You're in shock.
He's just like, yeah, okay.
We're mid swing right now, my man. We can't break this down right now.
I know.
So you guys get to the rendezvous point, yeah. and Stromwell says, "Hey, I know this place. I started out here."
Yes, it is that old hood.
Yeah,
South Ward Merchant Cart Storage.
So we were wondering if you would be able to help us against Thorn, in exchange for knowing where Joey is and how he is.
You know, that's right. You said that earlier. You know where my son is.
Yes. Your wife is with him now, I believe.
My wife? Yes. Take me to my boy.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. I want to see my son.
We'll go. We'll take him to the Sunrise Foundation.
Okay, it's like a block away. It's pretty close.
That's like, oh, sweet.
He's right there. Just look over your shoulder.
He's like, Sunrise, it doesn't means nothing to me, but you said my boy's in there?
Yes, it appears that he was...
He's like walking past you and like going up to the door.
Oh, I'll go.
He's like not paying attention to you.
Oh, cool. that's fine. He overdosed, and that's why he's here.
And
on the drug wizard.
He's like not like paying attention to you much, and he walks inside.
What a glorious reunion of father and son.
So when you walk inside here, there's like a hallway, and yeah. There's like doors on the right and left. And it's pretty clean, but it's like a rundown joint.
And we're just in costume in this place.
There's no like staff in here right now that you can see.
Nope.
So what do you, he's in there. He like is totally blind to what you were saying to him outside. He's like,
yeah.
Which one of these? He like opens up the first door and it's not.
And do we know what room?
You know,
he
he's in the third door on the right.
I'll walk up and open that door. Like he's in here.
And, he walks in and he sees his son there and he says, oh, Joey. And, he walks inside and from like kind of behind the door, you hear a female voice that says, yes. And he's lucky. He'll pull through. And Stromwell says, Martha, why didn't you call me? And I didn't know until today. I never have known if it weren't for some connects that reached out to me. And you hear Joey moan from the bed. He's a drug wizard. And Martha says, don't get any closer. The nurse said not to disturb him. And Stromwell says, I'll find the guy who got him hooked. He's like, just look in the mirror. It was your drugs and your people who sell them. Just listen to him. He's saying drug wizard over and over again. That's your guy, isn't he? I left you to get away from what you're doing. Our son wasn't so lucky. And Stromwell just looks like ghost white. And he like kind of like backs out of the room out into the hallway where you guys are.
Yeah.
How'd it go, buddy?
Oh, my God.
he looks at you like just kind of like ghost face, blank face.
Oh, not so well, I take it.
Mr. Shobo, I'm extremely sorry this happened. We tried to get him medical attention.
Sorry, you're sorry?
As fast as possible.
What the hell are you talking about?
And he just looks like a loss for words.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can relate to this situation a little bit about some personal things that I'm going through right now. But you need to know that
you just find any outlet let out your depression.
Yes. the night is darkest before the dawn, and And your son will see the sunrise. He will. I mean, he's alive. There are those who are not so lucky.
He's just like,
please find solace in this.
He's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear from you freaks.
Oh, no. I mean, we saved him. He's...
Fuck all, I don't know you.
He's alive because of us. But cool, that's fine. Listen, Stromwell, I understand you are having a real hard time. You got blown up. You found out you almost killed your son. This is...
I've had enough. Your 10-cent tour of the city is over. I'm out of here. And he starts moving past you to leave.
Oh, for two for Lucian tonight, guys. Surgeon, we can't let him leave.
Given that all you've seen today, okay, like, is this the life that you want to keep pursuing?
What is it that you want from me?
We want you to turn over a new leaf. Start anew, start fresh. You know, leave all this behind you. Can you do that for us? Can you do that for your son?
Make persuasions.
Both of us?
Yeah, because you both have been talking.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's a better chance. Ooh. That was a crit miss.
Oh, okay. I got a 12.
12 is okay.
Could I hero point to make it harder? Or to make it higher?
That crit one over there is like making it rough.
I mean, it's bad.
I'll make a deal with you, Brandon, if you want to use your coin in place of that roll.
Sure.
Ooh.
So what do we decide?
Ones is one, two is
so,
20.
To go back, use a hero point to use the coin?
No, just to use the coin instead of that roll.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so wait, one is a... Let's agree to it. Yeah. I don't care which is which.
I'm not
going to
fucking flip this thing.
One is a crit miss. Two is a crit.
One is a miss. Two is a 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
That's okay. That's what makes sense to me. Hit it. Fuck. 0 for 4.
Oh no, again?
Again.
This coin
man.
Is never gonna work.
I know.
I think we even switched the numbers in one session, so it's like that's not even how it works.
This coin sucks.
Yeah, Lucian, you could try to hero point.
Okay. To get higher.
Actually, how many hero points do you have left, Brandon?
I have 4.
I will take half your hero points if you want to flip that bad boy again.
I'm gonna do it.
All right. 2 hero points.
Okay. So 2 is a 20.
2 is a 20.
Oh, there it is.
All right. It finally worked.
Jesus.
So
2
you,
hero points.
Thank God.
You each have 2 left, right?
Yeah. Worth.
Okay. That was some finagling, but I like this is important.
Fuck it.
You see like the look in his eye kind of change a little bit, and you see like some of the sadness leak out, and let's take another break.
Okay.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question 2 ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.